The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello to Game Fan Radio. This is your host, Mark Arturo, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Charlie Saladino sitting next to me.
That would be me. Hi, people.
And our other co-host is on his way, so he will be coming with our guests. So
I'll just take your word for that.
We didn't have them here first.
Okay.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see us in high definition, no web camera right now, waving high.
Hi, Def.
And the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. Let's just take it away with the news, as I usually
do. Take it away with the news.
So let's see. As we've been doing, we're going to start off with the sad news.
Ah, yes.
We'll start off with the sad news first. Let's see. Michael O'Hare. Best known for his role of Commander Jeffrey Sinclair on the show Babylon 5,
right,
has died of a heart attack this past week.
Oh, my God.
The press release from series creator J. Michael Straczynski reads, I regret that I must convey the sad news that on Sunday, Michael O'Hare passed away suffering a heart attack, and he was in a coma until his passing this afternoon. This is a terrible loss for all Babylon 5 fans, and everyone involved with the show wishes to convey their condolences to the O'Hare family. He was an amazing man. Of note, he was the first white actor nominated by the Black Community Theater of New York for the AUDELCO Award for the best actor for his performance in the play Shades of Brown, which examined the effects of apartheid in South America.
Wow.
He was 60. So yep. Now, moving on to
that's not old.
That was a sad, 60 years old is not
old. That's not
old.
That's me 3 years from now. That's not old.
Yeah, so that's
if I was in my 20s, I would go, wow, well, he lived a good life. Saying that's not old at all.
That's not old at all.
No.
So thoughts and prayers go out to his family. And now we move on to the not sad news.
Right. See, it works out better that way, I think.
I don't know. I always like to end on a sad news, but, you know, where do we go from here? Like, how do I transition from the sad news to the not sad news? But we have a contest going on.
For the
past 2 weeks, we've been giving out tickets to the New York Comic Con. And for the next week, this week, and next week after that, we are going to be giving away tickets again. So what we like to call the world's easiest contest, right?
Right.
We're going to give away
two passes, but you can't call until we tell you to call.
Yes, that's right. It's the easiest contest, not the lazy person contest.
And you got to get ready. When we say call, you call.
Right, so we're going to say...
So, all right, people.
First caller right now.
Call me now.
At area code 6188.
Lightning bolt.
Look, Mark, the phone's ringing.
Hello, Hassan.
Hello, Mark.
And we have Alexander Glass.
We just beamed in.
That was nice. Very nice.
Grab that. Yeah.
All right. So we got our winner on the phone there?
Yeah.
Well, Trevor says yes, that we have a winner.
Hello?
So, hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello. And who is this?
Bunhal.
Bunhal?
Yes.
So congratulations. You won free tickets to the... Wait, dude, don't do that. I need that one.
I know that.
There you go. You won free tickets to the New York Comic Con 3-day pass. Congratulations.
Yay! Thank you.
So are you going to dress up as a character?
Probably. Yes, I've been thinking of some characters, but I just have to be more creative.
Well, you're going to have your own original character, or are you going to have dress up like an established character?
I was thinking of an established character, maybe like Sailor Moon, but then I was thinking of an original character, something I could make up, like, or cross between characters.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah.
Well, congratulations. Make sure you stop by the RZG Comics booth. That's where my character Sunburst will be. You can dress up like Sunburst. That'd be kind of cool.
I'm sorry, can you hear you?
I said you could dress up as my character Sunburst. You can dress up as my character, and you can come down to the RZG Comics booth, and you can meet my character. You can meet us. We should be over there as well.
Okay, cool.
All right. Well, we have your information, so we'll be sending you the tickets this week.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. Another winner. So we have one more week to go with two more passes left. So remember, if you missed out this time, we got one more shot. And as soon as we announce the contest, call right in, 631-888-8811. Not before. You got to call on hand or else Trevor will get mad at you. And then he'll make sure you don't win. It's true. He's giving me the look right now. All right. So moving on. The New York Comic Con, as we mentioned, is coming up this week.
You don't say.
It is. Well, really? Next week.
Is it?
October 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th.
Is it next week?
Yes, next week already.
Wow.
I wonder if she'd like to rent my booth. I may have to get off the air.
Even realize it was that close.
It is that close. Let's see.
Hope I'm not dead by then.
We will be there.
Then you should give your final thought.
Yeah, I'll make sure it's happening before I give out the final thought. I don't want to jinx it.
Closing thoughts with a sign
about it. I'll text them.
So we will be there going around on Thursday. I know I'm going to be there on Thursday and
we'll
Saturday.
We'll be there networking.
Yes, Thursday, Charlie's going to be there most of the days, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
And I know you have a booth, right?
Got a booth, so yeah.
You have to be
4 days.
There.
So actually be
well, you don't have to be there, but it'd be unwise of you for not being there.
Yeah, no, it's going to be...
It would be advantageous for him to be there.
Well, basically between me and Charles and, you know, we part of Sunday, actually, I won't be there. But yeah, it'll be the first time I'll do a full four-day con all days. Mm-hmm. I've never done that level of involvement.
Yeah,
plus, hopefully some after parties. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, after parties. We love after parties. moving on. Let's see. From the not-quite-yet department... Stan the Man Lee made a formal announcement.
Wait, the not quite yet department?
Yes, it's not
quite yet. It's so not quite that we didn't even come up with a clever name for it.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
All right. Good work.
Stan the Man Lee made a formal announcement this past week. It reads
he's going in a tux to the Comic Con.
Attention, troops.
Oh, boy.
This is a dispatch sent from your beloved Generalissimo. Directly from the center of Hollywood's combat zone.
He's a chief puberty?
Now hear this. Your leader hath not deserted thee. In an effort to be more like my fellow Avenger Tony Stark, I have had an electronic pacemaker placed near my heart to ensure that I'll be able to lead thee for another 90 years. But fear thee not,
is
my valiant warriors.
Yeah, that's right.
I am in constant touch with all commanders in the field, and victory shall soon be ours. Now I must end this dispatch and join my troops, for an army without its leader is like a day without a cameo. Excelsior. In other words, he was sick and he got a pacemaker, and he's keep on trucking.
Congratulations. That's awesome. Is he actually 90?
Yes.
You got to remember, he was...
He's 90. He looks fantastic for 90.
Yeah, he was like when Joe Simon and Kirby were doing Captain America. He wasn't writing it back then, but he was at what was, I don't know what it was called, Marvel back then, but it'd be 1940, he was there.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a kid, but he was there.
His birthday was when around the Philly Con. I didn't know he was 90. Unveiling of
10 more years, little letter.
Yeah, get the letter.
Gets the letter.
Man. President Bachman gave him a letter.
Yeah, it'll happen.
I believe it. I believe.
And the last bit of news we have, because we're doing an unusual show today.
Yes, this is the show unusual.
This is from the It's
the not
Still...
yet unusual show.
Cindy Lauper will be proud.
This is from the It's Still a Record department.
Oh my God! We have too many departments. That's why this company
is
not lucrative.
A massive, giant
this bureaucracy is unending.
Red tape. Yes. Maggie Gyllenhaal's latest film, Won't Back Down, based on a true story about a single mother bent on
I won't go see it because I'm not going to back down.
Inner city school pulled in a record-breaking $2.6 million this past weekend, making it the worst opening of a film in its class, which is 2,500 or more theaters. beating The Rocker, which had a 4-year run at the worst opening ever in its class.
The Rocker? I don't even remember that one. That
wait a minute. What about Howard the Duck?
Well, this is in its class. Oh, okay. Howard the Duck was a wide release.
I thought The Rocker went right to DVD.
No, what I actually the saw Rocker? The Rocker. The Rocker was, Rainn Wilson as a old school.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. 4 years ago. And he had a band, and he had.
Oh my God! So wait,
won't back down. I've never heard of that.
It's been advertised. I've seen a bunch of advertisements on television for it, but
wow.
I mean, depending
then to advertise on TV and make $2 million, that's really bad.
Yeah,
that's when they should say $2 million.
So it's a flop. It's just a flop. They're not. They're not saying we're going to leave it for.
No. To put things in perspective,
it's a true story too. It's like
a true story. Yeah. To put things in perspective, the 2006 Luke Wilson family comedy Hoot holds the lowest box office gross for a quote-unquote wide release, which is 3,000 more theaters, and it only made $3.4 million.
It still made more money.
But you figure, release. Yeah. Yeah, there's 3,000 theaters, $3.4 million, that's not too much per theater. And the Oogie Loves in the Big Balloon Adventure holds the record for the worst opening in 2000.
I have never heard of that. What the heck is that?
I thought he was just messing up.
I thought he just.
Actually, sad. I think I have enough nieces and nephews. It's like a kid's thing, right?
It's a kid's
thing. It better be with a name like that.
It's funny because I thought that was pretty popular. I'm surprised it did so badly.
It is the.
Like, the TV show was huge.
It's the worst opening in 2000 theaters or more, bringing in only $440,000.
Avatar.
So you're telling me.
Weekend.
You're telling me Airbender? Did better than all of these movies.
Yes, it did better than
all. Oh,
well, it doesn't matter
because it's
they
it's
spent
not...
the, they spent the GDP of like you know Mongolia on that movie. So
it's not saying it's the biggest you know flop. It's just saying it made the least amount of opening weekend. It's two different records. You know.
Oh, okay. So
you have a movie,
but it is a flop though. You're
it
saying
is a flop.
You're saying Won't Back Down is basically yes. just like Drudge Dredd is a flop. Statistically
yes.
speaking.
Statistically speaking, Judge Dredd has flopped just probably, like John Carter.
Or Dredd.
Well, both of them.
Yeah.
Although, weirdly enough, I think John Carter ultimately, I think, is probably going to make its nut. It's not, it's called a flop, but it's
based
like
on how much they advertise and they put into it and the marketing, all that stuff, plus the movie, which is a $299 movie. Yeah, it's not going to happen. And then, you know, the Battleship is another.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Battleship is a perpetration.
Although, be careful, because, I mean, I have personal experience in terms of dealing with flops. Because I actually did the Waterworld comic back when I was in Valiant Comics, as long-term listeners of the show will remember. And the only reason we got that deal was because it made money. Basically, and, you know, it probably made its last dollar like in Eastern Slovakia, you know, but it ultimately covered it not in American sales, but in overall sales. Because like I said, if it had been a total loss, we wouldn't have gotten the license. It just wouldn't have happened. So yeah, I mean, like I said, John Carter Mars will probably we'll never hear about it. It'll never, you know, it'll never be on a front page.
It'll slowly creep towards.
It'll cover itself, but yeah, the stink on it's too much. Like, he'll never do another one.
Well, speaking of Dredd and other movies,
I miss that.
Because we are a live show and we only air once.
I'm alive.
We're pretty much running behind on the movies that have come out. So I figured we can hit two movies this week and then we'll pick up on.
Who's got that kind of time or money? Money, movies are expensive. Stop making that important.
We've been doing movies.
Stop
reviews.
Making that important. What's two movies?
So I figured we'll do a Judge Dredd in the first half of the show and Resident Evil. And then we'll talk about our guest at the second half, as suggested by our own Hassan Godwin.
Oh, I wonder who, that idiot? You're going to listen to him? What a jerk. Well, he ruins my whole life.
It could be a lot worse. You could be transporting a giraffe.
That's true.
From the pages of Weird But True, the Post, a 7-hour trip in China, I believe it was, to transfer a giraffe took several months. Ask why, somebody.
Why somebody?
I'm glad you asked. Because they had to train the giraffe to duck. When they got to hybrid, this is they had to train the giraffes.
That hurts my brain.
How many giraffes did it take?
Yeah. How many did they kill before they got the right?
At first one, like, maybe we got to teach them how to
You know, maybe they had like an obstacle course, a giraffe obstacle course, And they, you know.
Dude, this is China. It was 50
like,
giraffes.
All right, bow your head, big animal. You know, and it's
State
like,
TV's lying to you. It was 50 giraffes. They, you know, yeah. they finally got one. It was yeah. genetically disposed of duck.
That is hurting my brain.
Oh, can you imagine me? I read it.
I was like, your eyes must have been bleeding.
I says, well, if this is killing me, I'm telling everybody.
It's going to hurt. It's going I'm going to hurt as many people yes, as I can.
I'm hurting as many.
I'm spreading the pain.
So it took like 4 or 5 months for the trip before they could train this
oh,
thing.
Oh, please.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine that?
No.
Meanwhile.
It's like something I would do.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, first we got to train the giraffe. And everybody else is like, why don't you just take 55 where there's like big tunnels?
Yeah.
Oh, I could have done that too.
Yeah.
But I trained the giraffe. Nobody's impressed. Nobody. Never mind.
We're taking it on a boat.
That's
a
probably all I'm going to have to say for yeah. the rest of the show.
We could have taken it on a boat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what was like somebody, like the Flintstones was sitting on top of the head and then, you know, wow.
Yeah. All right.
You have nothing for that.
I have.
You have nothing.
A question pops in my head.
Okay, well, spill it out.
Why didn't they just knock out the giraffe?
And
knock out
down.
The giraffe.
Lay it down.
Nobody. It was
flat,
China. Nobody could.
Flat truck. Just you know,
get a ladder.
Shoot with a trank gun.
Get on, climb
down,
a tree.
And get one of those cherry pickers.
It wakes up and you know, get a flatbed. Just get a big flatbed.
Yeah.
Guy, like,
and then go up there with a cherry picker.
No,
I mean,
you have to train him to duck. You people, stop it.
Give him some.
It makes
fun.
Perfect
See,
sense.
Apparently, none of them ever saw King Kong.
Yeah,
duck.
Well, King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah, put him in a hold and a boat.
That.
And just drive it. What?
Flatbed.
What?
Like,
never mind.
Like Lake Placid. That's what they did in Lake Placid.
Yeah, flatbed.
And this is why Son God wants you to rule the world.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly why I should rule the world, because I would train a giraffe to duck.
So, you want the show back, Mark?
Speaking of ruling the world, we're going to be talking about Resident Evil.
So that sucked. And so did Dredd. And now we're done.
So I feel bad because I've seen neither of them, so I will.
You haven't seen either one.
No.
Which I was.
I told him to watch. Actually, I didn't.
Good job.
I know.
This is why we listen to you all the time when we do this.
Yes, that's just always a guy. Well, I've seen both of them.
All right.
So, I've seen them so long ago, I don't remember them though.
All right. So
I wish Alice would just get a break. Like where she
Alice not getting a break.
Lay down for about
Alice
5 minutes.
Gets no break.
Not until the seventh movie.
No, she,
sure.
She gets a break every time because she's still here.
Yeah, as opposed to
people are dead.
Yeah,
it's called getting a break in the Resident Evil world.
Hundreds of thousands of people are dead.
I think it has
even
to do
on screen, it's probably killed about 1,000 people. So it's like over seven movies.
She's easily killed 1,000.
So
people.
She got the break and that she's still alive.
I think it has to do with the fact that she's married to the director, but that's just my personal opinion.
Well, you know.
Well, it depends on the director. If Cameron, he probably would have killed her off.
The very odd, the very odd thing about Mila is that she's very attractive. She's model attractive. You know, even still, as she's getting older. She's in her 30s, so that's not really that bad. But she's model attractive, but she's also a very competent actor, because I've seen her in some movies that where
oh my God,
where she's not, you know, flashing her. Her goods, you know, and she can hold up emotionally. Do them. So she's kind of like a phenomenon where she's eye candy, and because she looks as good as she does, you don't really give a lot of credence to the fact that she can also carry movies, because she's carried all 5 of these films, and the films make money, you know.
Wow.
So yeah, so that's the odd kind of thing about her. So you can't only say it's because of her husband. I mean, it's probably a big part of it. But even if she wasn't married to the director, I'm sure she'd be at the forefront of this franchise.
Yeah, fair enough.
In her own, you know, for her own defense. I don't really have feelings about her either way. I mean, I could take her or leave her. I think when she's good, she's good. I've seen some movies with her in it that aren't that great. You know, I never really blame her for it. But she should get the credit for being able to carry this franchise. Carrying a movie isn't easy, you know? And she's done it a number of times while doing monkey flips and cutting people's heads off. So you got to give her a credit where credit's due.
So did you or did you not like the movie?
I don't know. It was a Resident Evil movie. So it's on par with the other Resident Evil movies that I've seen. Now, I cannot decide whether they're good or bad. They're not really that good. movie-wise. There are some, you will always see some amazing stuff in a Resident Evil movie. The way the movie, this particular movie, opened was amazing. It was like, okay, that's pretty awesome. Now, the movie in and of itself has gone through, the narrative of the movie has gone through so many changes that you don't know up from down anymore. You don't know, okay, wait, so are we still in the same place what we were from the first movie? Are they still in America? Is the world really ended, or is it all a simulation? Or, you know, so you don't know, you know, you're front from your back as far as the films are concerned. So the continuity in the story can't really be judged. And the acting is, you know, they get a whole bunch of famous, you know, cage fighters to be her co-stars. So their acting is always, you know, nominal. But she's always good. And you're always going to see something pretty amazing. So if you like the other Resident Evil movies, you'll like this one.
All right. Charlie, what did you think?
About what? No, I'm just kidding. Well, I thought, believe it or not, and I thought it was more like the game. This movie was more like the game than any other movie.
Really?
More like the thing. Because you had the Red Queen, you had the different levels, they had the dome.
That's true.
All right. The different environments, and you were going from one to one. So I felt that it was more like the game than, because it came from a game, than right. any of the others. And again, with her, she does carry any movie she's in, especially these movies, and I think she's magnificent in them. I mean, she's a great athlete. She's great. She looks great, and
she looks all right.
Yeah, and you know, her husband put her in a towel in this one. You know, so
thank you.
But there was
he's a nice man.
There was. Come on, you want to make money, honey? Wear this. It's a towel. I don't care.
I think he's awesome. It'll work. That's all I'll say.
So anyway, again, what Hassan says is true. She's an amazing actress, because I did see her in other movies, and one of them was phenomenal. And if I'm wrong, people call in. All you people call in if I'm wrong.
I think
the name of this movie was called 45, and it was about an abusive husband.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it.
And she was freaking amazing in that.
Really. You know, she was good in The Messenger. She was good. I mean, she's done some really dramatic roles where it's not eye candy. And she's been fantastic.
More than multi-pass. So.
Yes. But she wasn't bad in that movie. She wasn't bad in the film.
And for the fact that she stayed consistent with her language, you know, that was like, excuse me, that always happens when I eat cucumbers.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know? You know, I, as a movie to be entertained, it's also... When they do the narrative and you're going, did I miss the last movie? Or what the heck is this one about? You know, and the beginning was definitely worth the price of admission.
Yeah. That beginning is.
Yeah.
I had to admit, I'm like, okay, that's fine.
It was sort of like
well done.
The beginning of The Expendables. After the beginning's over, you go, could there be more here? You know, because
I'll have to wait to find that out.
Yeah. Expendables 2, I should say. But Resident Evil, I enjoyed it. And I
thought it was decent. I did not like the last one. I really didn't like the last one because I was like, wait a minute.
You mean the one before this one?
Yes, the previous one.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out the plane thing.
Yeah, number four, which is, I think, Afterlife.
Yeah,
I think Resident Evil Afterlife.
So, putting that aside, I thought I liked the first one, I liked the second one, I liked the third one. Fourth one, not crazy about. Fifth one, I thought it was better than the fourth one, but not as good as the other three.
What is your term that you use for?
Oh, it's good enough.
It's like almost good.
Well, the problem is she loses her powers in that one, and then she still kicks everybody's butt.
Yeah.
So, where's...
But the
what was the power?
But the logic, the
it's looking hot. That's their power.
But there was two parts in the movie. I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. But
the new one?
Yeah, the newest one.
Okay.
Like when you mentioned the towel scene, she had like 2 minutes to get out of there, and she was able to dress in her outfit and guns.
She's Mila.
In those 2 minutes, I'm like,
if you were being chased by zombies, you'd get dressed real fast.
In that outfit, it would take a little longer than the amount of time she had. Did that
bother me? She's prime rib, man. She's got to be quick.
We kept it moving. And the other
Batman
thing,
got dressed sliding down a pole.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah,
he did. He had the switch. He was Batman.
So she's Mila.
Yeah.
And the other thing
Resident
that
followed
me was another outfit thing.
Wardrobe issues.
Yes, the Asian girl in the movie.
Of course. Focus
that
in.
That was not a fighting outfit. I'm thinking, that's a spy outfit?
Are you kidding?
To put that on?
Wait a minute. You're going to nitpick on the costumes in the Resident Evil movie?
It bothered me. I don't know why it bothered me, yet it did.
Oh, that's terrible. Thinking, you were nitpicking.
Whenever you do a game, you always get these fighters if you get a real hot chick, she's not going to be
in a
burlap bag.
In a unitard with a turtleneck.
That's the costume she wears in the game, so it's acceptable. I'm just sitting there. It's like, I was having trouble processing.
Then
it.
You got
not me. To... I was having trouble, keeping my eyes off of her.
If she was able to sneak in, why couldn't they sneak out the same way?
What are you talking about? Why are you looking for logic in a movie that simulates zombie apocalypse? Multiple zombie apocalypses that they've naturally lose control of. Because that never goes wrong.
Yeah.
Having a whole bunch of zombies in one place so you can use them as an experimental, X factor or control group, that never goes wrong. That works perfectly every time.
Yeah. And it's like, this is one
of
the...
It will not be an outbreak.
This is one of the movies that, as Hassan says, you can leave your brains at the door.
Yeah.
You don't have to take them in with you.
You kind of...
Well, especially
with
all those zombies, that's good.
You have to, yeah, exactly, because they eat brains. But you have to leave your brains at the. You can't use your brain. Because you're just going to be so miserable, trying to figure.
I still enjoyed it. But I'm just saying.
But that's because you turn most of your brain off.
But we're holding a double standard here because we complain about movies.
It's the fifth.
What they say, oh, you're turning
it's
your brain
the
off,
fifth Resident Evil movie, and I do believe I did complain when you suggested that we review it in the first place, and I said that means we'd have to see it. So since you made us see it so that we could do this, I went and I turned my brain off.
But then, the thing is, how can we be like, oh, it was a decent movie if other
it's,
movies
No. You got to hold a movie up by the standards that it professes to live by.
Okay?
So if it's a Shakespeare-ish kind of movie and you watch it and it's bad, it's a bad movie. It was a bad attempt to do that movie. This was a good Resident Evil movie.
Okay.
This is a good movie. No, but I said that in the beginning. They're all bad films.
All right.
But, as for Resident Evil installment, it was on par with the previous ones.
All right.
Like I said, it's the old Tomb Raider gauge. Tomb Raider promised me breasts and guns. And I got both.
And shorts.
It should. If that's what you're into, if that's the kind of thing you're into, then that's what you get.
Yeah.
And that movie gave you no story. Absolutely incoherent dialogue, breasts and guns and desert eagles. So, and then, that was my revelation, because when I saw that, it was many years ago. I saw that, I was like, I can't really complain. It gave me exactly what it said it was going to give me.
All right.
So
go see it.
Sure.
3D.
If you saw the others, go see it. No, 3D is nominal.
Nominal 3D.
Oh, yeah. If you're a Resident Evil fan, yeah. And you're going to come to the same conclusion a lot better than the last one.
I will agree with that. So
it is better than the previous Resident Evil. It is better than Afterlife. It's a superior movie to Afterlife.
I would say the 3D was worth it. I thought the 3D was really
Better than the
I don't condone 3D because 3D is more expensive, and sometimes, depending on the person, you can get an epileptic
fit. Go on the bargain day.
I'm just saying. I'm never gonna suggest that you see. It works either way.
I don't know. There's certain movies where I'm sitting there thinking.
Works either way.
You really need to see this in 3D. It's very fun.
No, I've never seen a movie where I said I need to see this in 3D. Not once did I say I need to be seeing this in 3D.
Well, I'm sure you didn't use those words.
In fact, I saw Avatar in 3D, and I was like, I got a headache. I really wish this was not
3D. I love it so much. You went there.
Huh?
You loved it so much you went there.
I like the planet, but I'm telling you the 3D was giving me a schizoid embolism.
I just kept saying, I can't wait till he stops riding this bird. Whatever it is.
You were waiting a long time.
Yeah.
He rode the bird through the whole darn movie.
Yeah, I was like,
get off the bird.
Yeah.
Get off the bird.
I'm going to puke. Get off the bird.
That's the next movie. That's the title of the next movie.
Avatar.
Get off the damn bird.
So we're ready for our break? All right, we'll be right back with Came From Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for Underdog.
Underdog,
underdog, speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder.
Underdog,
in this world, the headlines read of those whose hearts are filled with greed, who rob and steal from those who need to right this wrong with blinding speed. Goes
underdog,
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 underdog, speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder.
Underdog.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back where we came from.
Hey, it's great to be back. It's really nice, wonderful being here.
Hassan Godwin.
Yeah, that's me.
And quick trip to the Alps.
It really wasn't a break. I'm going to talk to the union because our breaks are really short. It all depends on the song.
No, no. See, you weren't here for the infinity break last week.
I was listening now.
Oh, my God.
I heard that.
Man, I didn't realize how long it was. I thought it was going to be. And then it was done, you know?
Nope.
I was like, wait a minute. Man.
I fell asleep. I mean, I was like, oh, these guys are still on.
What did I say when we came back? Is anybody still here?
Adventures in the background of radio.
Yes. It was like, I figured we'd do a quick one.
Of course, I wasn't at that one where I could have, you know, done, I could have gone out for cookies and milk or something like that.
Lucky you, you were at the giraffe story.
Yeah.
You had the bee virus.
I was beyond sick. I had pneumonia.
So, for those of you tuning in to listen to Charles Bostic, Hassan Godwin ate him and turned him into a zombie, so he's not able to make it this week. Hopefully, he'll be cured. Is that what happened?
I'm not responding to that.
I didn't
That's all
hear
kinds
it.
Of wrong, so I'm not even going to respond to that.
But we still have the other half, if you call it that, the other half. Would you say you're the other half of the
sure.
company?
Yeah, the better half, as they say.
So this is your fourth?
Actually, I think technically my
third.
Is it?
No, this is four.
This is four. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
you were here with Charles. You were here twice on your own, and you were here once for Charles.
Charles. Oh my God, you're so
and
right.
And now this is your fourth
yeah,
time.
Yeah. No. I'm not.
So
he's officially a friend of the show now.
I'm waiting for royalties.
As I love to ask,
as
returning
everyone else.
Guests, as I've done to you already three other times.
Yes.
What are you doing that?
Why do you want?
I gotta be honest. This is actually a lot of fun. I've always been a sucker for radio.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a
sucker.
Sucker. Yeah. No. I've always liked radio, and I did a bit of it in college. I was
So he's got that voice.
What was that name that you had? You had that secret name that you.
No. Oh my God, I was at BU in the 1990, and it was at 3 o'clock in the morning. If three people listened, it was a triumph. I basically just needed someone to spin a disc. Somebody brought me in, and I spun with her for a while, and then she quit. And then basically we did the 12 to 3 shift, and then I ended up doing the 3 to 6 in the morning on Saturday.
He was Slippery wow. Alex Glass, yeah. The gas mask. That's what his name was.
There you go, yeah. Oh my God. No, no fucking nicknames. The only fun thing about it was no one gave – care what I did about it. So I would like, I would play records like from the K Martins. Like, if something was awful, I would just yank it off and say, well, never mind that. And I started spinning something else.
Yeah, you'd want to hear that anyway.
And then, of course, you throw it in and get out of the Vita if you need to take a bathroom break. Because no one's there. There are no breaks.
Go down to the cafe and get some lasagna and stay there and eat it and then come back and the song is just ending.
Yes, my friend's Pink Floyd is your friend.
Yeah. That was a and an American.
Song, right? It wasn't going to be
the day the music died.
I did Floyd. Like, like Animals. There's something from Animals. I was like 14 minutes. I'm like,
and LA
I
got to
take care of some business. I got to do some paperwork. And then, you know, so I need some time.
Man.
So, yes. I'm returning the fourth time. And this, this time representing Dominion Publishing Enterprises, because we ran into me and Charles have done two shows this year.
Underdog.
We do feel that way. We did the East Coast Black Age of Comics and the Museum of Mocha. But the problem was we found that I've got my project Thunderkind, which will have now two graphic novels at the table, and Charles has Ravenous Red, which we are finally going to see pages. He's going to have an eight-page ashcan.
They still call those things ashcan.
Well, I do because I'm from the business. You know, back in the 90s,
I'm
from the business. I was in Valley. We called them ashcans.
We called them ashcans.
So why were they called ashcans? For people who don't know,
I have absolutely no idea. Here's the joke.
Oh,
I don't know.
That was a trivia opportunity.
I know. I've wondered about it for years. No one's ever explained it to me.
I always thought it was because those were just like the sample pages that they handed around the office, and they threw them in the trash can.
That's entirely possible. I would believe it. The joke is they've been calling it that for 15, 16 years. I have no idea.
Someone
would
be like, well, why don't we sell this instead of throwing it out?
Sell to the con. if it's a buck, you mean, what, it costs you 5 cents to print?
Million.
Yeah. So basically, I think the problem we ran into was that like they would look at his stuff and think, oh, this is what you got, right? And then they'd walk away. And they wouldn't realize it was a couple of things. So we figured Dominion Publishing Enterprise is what me and him and San were doing, you know, back in the last decade. So we decided to revive it so we'd have an overarching entity to work from. So, yeah, it's Dominion Publishing, and we're presenting Thunderkin. We're presenting Ravenous Red. And I want to make sure that I mention that at the booth, like I said, I've got two graphic novels. But for Ravenous Red, we've got the Ashcan. He's got like 9 T-shirts. The original, he has an awesome, beautiful art book that he's had there before. It's gorgeous.
Just to be clear, it's 9 T-shirts with different artwork on them.
Absolutely,
not just 9 T-shirts.
Yeah, no, he's printed 9.
We only got 9 T-shirts nine people.
Yeah, you win. Otherwise, you lose. Yeah, I've got 2 versions of myself. It's a Thunderkin logo, and I also have a symbol design that you'd have to come to see it. I'm sure from Charles's listening that I'm forgetting some of the things that he's brought there, but I'm sure he'll text me in a few minutes. I'll feel buzzed. we're at booth 22. We're at booth 2265, which will mean nothing to you. But I figured I should say it anyway. But actually, it's kind of nice. We're actually right off the main drag, like Tapatalco or something.
That
big area. So we're like right off it, and we didn't like, pay anything, really. That's where we ended up. We're basically one of the 6x8 booths, so it's not the full 10x10, but we're gonna have nice big screen TV running ads. It's gonna be gorgeous.
Yeah, electricity too. Look at that. That's
Let me tell you something. I only had to kill 3 people to get it. But dealing with the unions there, I mean, we're shipping everything. We're not shipping a thing in. We're carrying it all in from the car.
Right, because Kim Mueller was saying how difficult it is with the unions. If you remember, Herman's super question about.
Oh my God! Yeah, but that was like ridiculous.
The ban, but she did mention how difficult it is working with the unions.
I should officially declare that Charles has texted me and said, "No, I've got it covered." So we're good.
Okay. Nicely done. Very good job.
Okay, give us a second. The word ash can is an older synonym for waste paper basket, trash can, or garbage receptacle intended for ashes from fire. The implication in comic publishing is that it was printed material to go straight from the printer to the trash, which was often the case. Ashcan editions frequently contain unlettered stories, unfinished art, or even just whatever waste paper had been conveniently available at the time.
The funny thing is, I know there's guys who've actually like done movie deals, like giving those kind of. I've seen sort of like the
nowadays
sort of the overprint stuff. I don't know, Men in Black, but one of these like some like comic movie. Like the guys
it's better
like,
than
gave,
the press.
He gave him that, and the guys were like, "So they sell a lot?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah." And they didn't.
This is all I had. I sold all the others.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm not surprised.
You would think that this is just like the animation cells from back in the day that. Mm. Somebody said, hey, we should save these and sell them. Like, yeah. You know, who was that guy and where is he now?
Yeah,
was,
yeah. Like, he's the guy who's rich now while all the other artists are dead.
He's on his island. Yeah. He's sucking down a peanut.
I'm trying to figure out which guy figured out to sell original comic boards. Because I don't think they were doing that 50 years ago or 60 years ago.
Nobody
and half that stuff is all gone. Could you imagine what you could get for that stuff?
Yeah. It's
nobody had any appreciation for that stuff back then.
Because it was all like, oh my God, this is like kid stuff. It's all garbage.
No one had the foresight, I guess, to know that the kids.
I mean, I'm sure somebody collected some of it, but I mean, I don't think it's that old a phenomenon. Like, you know, artists going to, you know, maybe 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, like from the 80s.
It's so weird how. Just a couple of years makes such a difference on what is important and valuable to the industry.
I should also point out, sorry, that the Ravenous Red Ash Can will be in full color. And, we'll have some house ads.
I'd like to point out that Alex still has a flip phone.
Absolutely. 7 years.
70. Yeah, 70 years.
Yeah, really. It feels like that. It feels like 70 years.
He actually flipped the phone over like, what is that?
That's awesome.
Well, Kirk the Enterprise.
Well, that was always my goal. I mean, back, you know, before I had smartphones, I mean, if I had a phone because I was so obsessed with Star Trek, it's like, I need a phone that flips open. And if I would spend money if it would make the beep. I mean, no one, I don't think anyone ever really did it.
They have ringtones that do that.
Yeah, but I had that ringtone, but no, I wanted the effect. You flip the phone and I wanted that sound.
I had a friend in high school. He paid $110. This was a long time ago. So
that's real money.
The insignia. For the next generation.
Oh, it had the chirp?
The noise.
It made the chirp?
Yeah.
For $110 just for it to make the noise?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the sad thing is now you probably get it for $5.
Yeah.
He brought it to school. Yeah. And
he punched him in his face.
I was like, all right,
that's enough.
That's too much for me.
You better hope they beat you up.
And he was beating the women off with a stick.
Yeah. Yeah. Chicks dug him.
You paid 100 and something and I'm going to kick the living life out of you if you don't
sell it. And I'm going to take your $100 pin and sell it.
Yeah. I'm going to make you eat that pig.
It does bring up the question that Herman mentioned the last time you guys were here. They actually had a very interesting conversation in Herman's Hermanness. He was saying how do you guys still think that print medium is still a viable option for comic books? Has that opinion changed from then until now? Because, you know, you're making an ash can, and that's something that people just throw out in the garbage.
Well, I mean, because, Charles and I have actually slightly differing tactics because I'm a web comic thunder-kin.com I should also mention that my second graphic novel, the appeal that you'll have at this show is it actually has pages that have not uploaded because I'm about 20 pages ahead, so I finished a little batch of basically 50 pages. It's like total of 58, so there's gonna be about 15 pages that are, you know, that no one will have seen.
The director's cut.
Exactly. At the show, obviously, those will degrade as time goes on. But yeah, if you buy the show, you're going to be almost.
And people love getting that right away. You got to be first.
But to answer your question, because Charles's vision, you know, he wants to do print. I mean, he's not against the web, but I mean, I decided because of the cheapness, you know, the inexpense to jump into the web because the overhead was so low. He wants to sell issues. He wants to do it the classic way, and I think there's going to be that for a while, but also I know that because I think I know the buzz from him that he's going to be doing selling the stuff through the Kindle, because that's the thing is, even though if paper doesn't exist, the concept of the magazine can still exist because thanks to the Kindle, thanks to the iPad and the Nook, you can sell these things as magazines because you can sell them for, like, you know, as cheap as you can, you know, like 99 cents, whatever they'll let you sell it. And you can sell like a 25 page book. And yeah, it's not paper anymore, but it's still something you kind of flip through. It still has almost that same kinetic feel. And I still think paper is going to be around for a while. I mean, it's like, you know, I may be surprised, but I'm willing to believe that even 10, 15 years from now, people will still be selling paper books.
Yeah, everybody got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Paper's going to be here.
Well, that paper will never leave us.
Can't do stuff with a Kindle like that.
Yeah.
You can, but only
you
once.
Can. Yes, that's true.
It's a great trick, Bugs, but I can only
stand
do it
corrected.
Once.
Thank you.
Yeah, make sure it's not yours. Make sure you borrowed it from a friend.
Unless you're into that sort of thing.
They're going to actually have
no
to
judgments.
Put
no judgments.
More outlets in bathrooms because you're not going to be able to peruse a book anymore in the bathroom unless you got a power source for your Kindle.
I gotta make this quick. I'm running out of battery.
Yeah, exactly.
Man,
I gotta pound this out. I don't have any reading material.
This is going to the Radio Broadcasting Hall of Fame. I think
yes.
This show, we're recording it. We're sending
only
it.
We cover this.
I'm only a guest. I'm telling you right
covering
now.
It all right.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, it's all covered.
That's
up.
What it's all about. It came from the radio. You heard it here first.
Do you find that between your two different visions, it actually works together as a unison to have one company as opposed to having two separate ideas going against each other?
Well, I think it helps. It gives it a cohesiveness. And what's nice is what helps is that why it works for us because of the things that we chose to do, the projects that, you know, we have a number of projects we could do. Ravenous has been Charles's vision for 20 years. Ravenous Red is a Brooklyn-based fairy tale. So it's this fairy tale mixed in the real world. Mine is Norse mythology mixed into the real world. So they're similar. You know, so basically if you come there, it's like, listen, you like fantasy, you like it blending with sort of the quotes real world. We've got two projects for you as opposed to like, you know, this is softcore porn and this is like, you know, nice for animals. Like they just don't mix. Ours.
Well,
all right. For the general public, they don't mix. Let's be clear about that. Yes, we know.
Okay.
Anything on the net goes.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Well, thank you for pointing that out.
For a minute there, I was scared. I thought I was on par with the public. That's terrifying.
No.
No.
I'll tell you, I've known you for 20 years. No.
Okay.
The answer's no.
Excellent.
I can just see you now. Maxim, the comic book.
I'd buy it. I'd be first in line.
Trust me, somebody's already made it.
Yeah, right. Especially after this show.
Yeah.
What is the rule that it's a creator-owned property, right?
Right.
So do you find that at any point down the line there'll be some type of crossover? Because in the old days, people love, if you have a company, this character right. has a crossover with that character because that's what happens.
I mean, it's possible. It's a question of time and personal visions because the problem is when it is creator-owned like that where you just – it's just – because like I said, that's just him. It's like, it's me. Like there's nothing I'm so proud of sometimes when I look on the web and look at these comics – and some of them are great, some of them are awful, but most of them have like these teams. And everything you see in this is me. I do everything. Charles is the same way. So I think our visions, I mean, could we? Yes, but I think we're so focused on just getting the thing done and accomplished that, you know, maybe when we step back, we could say, yeah, we could, you know, we could blend it out or surely do some cute posters or something. But,
probably do it like a joke book,
like
a holiday special or something like that with everybody in the story.
They'll save Santa Claus. They'll save Christmas because Christmas always needs saving. Christmas needs saving.
Apparently.
Must save
it's only been around for 2,000 years, but apparently it's on the verge of collapse
every
all
year.
The time.
Every year without a superhero.
I've never seen, yeah, it's just, oh my God. You know, Santa Claus, I mean, that guy can't get anything done. He's incompetent because he's being saved by everyone from Peanuts.
Impeach Santa Claus.
To Superman.
Family Guy.
To Sailor Moon
to
whatever.
Stewie.
Stewie will save him.
Yeah,
he's a baby.
Brian.
Santa Claus is apparently so incompetent, he's a baby. An English accented baby to save him. You know something? Just fire the guy, find somebody.
And
else.
A talking dog. You forgot that.
Well, see, talking dog, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, a talking dog, that's already kind of like, wow.
Why is it that all the holidays need saving, but what was it? Easter never gets saved? Is that the one that never gets saved? I think no one has ever saved Easter.
Well, the thing is, remember what it's about. I mean, saving?
I mean, Christmas is not about Santa Claus, but...
Yeah.
Easter's not
Easter
about...
Bunny,
well, Easter
know?
Bunny. Easter's not about Jesus, though. Actually, it's a pagan holiday that they co-opted when they...
Well, they all are.
Huh? Yeah. But I mean, just saying in particular...
Valentine's Day. Oh, we save Valentine's. It's one of those things I've always wondered.
No, who's... The heck with Valentine's Day. Heck with Valentine's Day.
Actually, also in terms of...
Actually, Valentine's Day is my mother's birthday, so that's the only good thing about it. But, you know, you're going to pass out.
Yeah, I would like you to be my Valentine because I like you. I say, yeah, well, go to heck. I'm going to get out of here. I'll call you for stalking.
And then you, you know... Is that only me?
I want to remind that in terms of talking about the crossover, actually our first project with Dominion was something called the Fusion Book, where we did, it wasn't a true crossover. We had a series of stories that sort of had a MacGuffin that blended through all of them. They didn't technically interact. So we've kind of done that. And that particular book, which we did print, is going to be available for sale at the show.
Nicely done.
Yes, I try my best.
That's good. Good promoting there, Charles. You had something to
try? No, I'm still thinking of the Easter Bunny versus the Martian.
Well, there already is Santa Claus versus the Martian.
Yeah,
there was.
Some Mexican
yeah, no,
movie.
That's why I'm saying.
Help the Bombardier.
Help the Bombardier.
Yeah. So what else do you have at the con? What else? What other things? Do you have people dressed up as your characters?
No. That's awesome. One of these days. I mean, Ravens would be tough since he's like a 7 foot tall. Furry.
It could be done.
Oh, it can be done.
Just, and then just get overweight Spider-Man to dress up.
And then your actor would die heat
Charles
stroke.
I guarantee
and then
within 5 years it will be done.
You better get him a.
Get
him a bucket of ice water.
The fans inside, like the new Disney
camera. Oh my god,
the fans inside.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have an itchy display, basically of Thor's hammer, gloves, and belt of strength. I think Charles is gonna have a couple of things for display himself, and a nifty glass case. Unfortunately, we're just a little too small for my stuff. As well as, like I said, posters, the T-shirts. I actually have a set of trading cards, which I think I'm basically just, if people buy the book, I'm gonna give away until, obviously, you know, as long as supplies last, as they say.
Is it like the 9 T-shirts?
Nine? Yeah, exactly.
9 trading cards.
Trading cards. No, it's about, I think I had about a set of 50, and each of them have like 15 cards in them. So it's like it's not bad. So, you know, it's not top. You know, what do you call it? Top notch. Yeah, but you know, they like, you have 1,000 of them in one, but you know. For me, considering I did the entire thing myself, it's not bad.
So what advice can you give people that are having their own booth at the Comic-Con?
Don't do it.
Next week?
One of the interesting things I would say, and this may be a bit behind the scenes out of school because it's something we talked about, is if you have friends, you've got to do your best to be sort of polite but kind of get them to keep moving. You know, you can't sort of hang out in front of the booth because you don't have a lot of space. You know, I mean, the aisles are not bad at New York Comic Con. I mean, apparently, I've never been. San Diego, they're huge. But like Chicago or something else, it's too tight.
It still doesn't even really work that well in San Diego.
Yeah, true. Right? I'm sure not. You gotta have a good attitude. You know, never get mad at anybody. And never shove anything down anyone's throat. It never helps. You know, you just gotta be, you gotta sort of open yourself up. You very very open. Allow people to come in, but we used to try to kind of like, you know, throw cards at everybody and
throwing cards. I got one.
Yeah,
exactly. I got another one.
Mylar sticks in someone's head.
Yeah, exactly. And it's no good.
Yeah, like a little chart.
I'm wanted in 3 states.
You got points. Oh, yeah. I got 5 points for the woman in the baby carriage. You know,
exactly.
Kind of awesome.
It's like the old time fragrance people. They used to spray you as you went by.
Yeah, exactly.
Now they got to spray the cardboard and give it to you.
Yeah. Why don't you do that? Yeah, like your own Thunderkin spray and go.
Well, I may listen.
Ord to Thunderkin.
Here's the joke. Where do you think Britney Spears makes her money? She doesn't make her money on records. She made her money on freaking fragrance.
Ah, see.
Yeah. No. It's like.
She made a little money in those first few records.
No, but I mean, the majority
the industry was
but
still
a huge portion of her money. It's like perfume. It's like nothing you'd ever think of. You think touring, you think record,
right,
perfume.
So there you go. The future of comics is to make scented comics.
Could happen. It's been done before. I'm sure it'll be done again.
Look at that. So we got less than 3 minutes. So website.
All right. So basically you can check out thunder-kin.com. That's where my website is. I'll have – I'm going to be going on to the Nook. I'm going to try and go on iTunes. It's a little tougher. And the Kindle, hopefully I'll have that up before the show, if not shortly after. DominionPublishing.com is where you can find everything about Charles's work. Links to Thunderkind as well, but that's where sort of our main focus of information is. If you want to find out more about us on the show, about the convention, that's where the information should be. You can also like us. You can like us on Facebook. I have a Thunderkind fan page. There's also a Dominion Publishing fan page, and I am at My Thunderkind on Twitter, and I would love for you to at me.
Mm. Hassan, we got a few minutes left. Final thought?
Hope's not my final thought.
Man. Charlie, final thought?
I'm thinking you need to do a comic book on us. It came from the radio. Make us superheroes, because we do the news show and then we act on it. Because I need to go to a book signing where I'm actually signing my book. Yeah. And
something like that. We could do it. Came from the radio, the comic. Oh,
yes. Man. I'm thinking we all have special powers.
Next year.
And you choose what they
are. What?
Next year.
I'm sure they'll be radio based.
Yes.
Like Airwave from DC Comics.
Mr. Microwave.
Because I am a geek.
My final thought would be on a little self promotion on my comic crossover, Dominion. Charles actually did the ad for this radio show. It's in the comic, so you know.
Nice.
He did.
We don't mess around at Dominion Publishing.
Very nicely done. Yeah. So you know, if you guys need artwork done, he's for hire. You can actually check that stuff out. See, look at that little cross promotion right there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that is about it for this week. We're all out of time. Next week, we'll give away two more passes. Maybe we have to wait till we mention it to call. Thank you, Alexander, coming in a fourth time, and hopefully it won't be your last.
He'll
be coming around next week. And that does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us right here and every Wednesday at 9 o'clock on WGV. If you miss any portion of the show, you can go online to www.itcamefromnewyork.com, and the archives will be up in a week or so, and we will see you next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.